Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
The other day I came across a teaching that I had two reactions when I read it. The first was to say, oh, this is really good. And the second was to recognize, oh, this is totally unlike anything I would say. So I've been enjoying thinking about that. I meant to actually bring the paragraph that I read, but I'll do my best. This was by a now deceased Theravada teacher named Ajahn Suat. And it went something like this. He said, part of the practice of Buddhism is to learn to see everything you encounter as being old. First, just let that sink in. He said, when you experience craving, for example, rather than succumbing to the idea that this is new, that this is something that lights you up because you haven't experienced it before, instead you come to recognize craving and say, oh, I know who you are. I've seen you before. And when you're angry, rather than giving into the idea that this time it's different because the circumstances are different and therefore the anger is different, instead to take not one or two steps back, but many, and observe it and say, no, this is anger in the way that I know it. There is nothing unfamiliar here. This is something with which I'm already intimate. Or imagine falling in love. We have this cliche, you know, a man in maybe his 50s leaves his wife for a younger woman and says, I've never felt this way before. But maybe actually, no, you have. You just haven't felt that way for a long time. But if you tell yourself you've never felt this way before, then you don't have to look at what else you know. If you understand that you have felt this way before, then you understand how you'll feel in a week, and how you'll feel in a month, and in a year, and in 10 years. And it may be that you'll come to see that what you're pursuing is not something new, but something old. What you do with that, I don't know. But the decision process is different when you take some experience of mind and hold it up, and instead of being fascinated by the unfamiliarity of it, start from the assumption that, in a sense, that you've seen it all in terms of your own reactions. This is just one more. I think this is a wonderful teaching, actually. But it comes out of this tradition where, especially in foundational Buddhism, a lot of the description of practice has almost a world-weary tone. We're tired from the world. We're tired from our minds, right? Every day we wake up and attachment and aversion and ignorance, they appear to us in some sort of guise, trying to get in. And we're tired. And we're like, oh, it's you again. But this time you're wearing glasses with the little mustache, right? I see through you. Stop it. And then the next day, they show up wearing a whole new thing. And you say, oh, not good enough. Why do you keep doing this? There's that feeling, I think. And I see in myself a kind of resistance to that. Because so much of this tradition and so much of the other traditions that kind of developed in China later have almost an opposite feeling where, you know, something presents itself and we look at it as new, right? Because instead of that feeling of, oh, I've done this forever, and maybe really forever, it's consider the karmic implications of how this moment came together. There's never been this moment. There is no other moment like this moment. Look at it as if you've never used eyeballs before, right? As if it's the first thing you've ever seen. Allow yourself to be kind of overwhelmed by the freshness of this so that you see it as a beginner in the world, as a baby, and you can say, wow, with no preconceptions, right? That unfiltered experience becomes so primary. And so we emphasize that. We emphasize coming into each experience as if you've never seen anything like this before. So you have these two approaches, one of which is saying essentially that, you know, no matter what you eat, it all really just kind of tastes like oatmeal anyway. You can fool yourself. And the other one that says every bite is the most exciting thing. Every bite is your ticket to seeing reality clearly. Pah! And I love that too. I love that. I need that reminder. I need the reminder to be invested and excited and curious. But then when I read this reminder that almost says we should be bored, I instantly see the wisdom there too, right? That we shouldn't convince ourselves that it's so interesting this time, especially when it's our own mind. We should let things become very well worn so that we know the grain of it. We know it front and back, right? So that when I experience anger, I recognize it instantly in three dimensions as something I've held in my hands a million times, right? I know the weight of it. If I know that, then I know what it feels like to put it down. That's really important. So I was thinking about these two approaches and kind of enjoying how I can find myself pulled toward one or the other. And then I was listening to an interview, and in the interview, the interviewer and the interviewee both were men with small children, and for a moment they were kind of commiserating about the difficulties of small children and the difficulties of kind of keeping it together at times, because sometimes kids push you over the edge. And one of them, I really appreciated what he said. He said, well, I think of it like a video game. You know, you get to that moment where you're late for whatever it is, and the kids still haven't got their pants on, and now there's a tantrum, and there's a story behind the tantrum, but the tantrum doesn't make any sense, and you can feel yourself losing control of the situation, right? And maybe your default is that you get angry, or maybe your default is that you start to lecture, or maybe your default is that you give up, or whatever it is. And he said, I think of it like a video game where, you know, I always get to level 6 and I always enter this room, and this room is where I have to fight the big monster, and the big monster always wins. I know this room. I always end up in this room. And I remind myself that every time you get back to that level, every time you get back to that room, it's your chance to do it a different way. Right? It's completely familiar. You know all the things that got you there. You've done it 100 times. And yet, there's something in us, I know this is true for me, that when I get there and I find this experience that is at once familiar but overwhelming, I don't always have the presence of mind to say, oh, I know this place, but I don't know what to do. I'm going to try something that is not the thing I tried the other 355 times. Instead, I kind of fall back on, if we're using this metaphor, I'm just kind of hitting all the buttons at once because it's coming too fast. And then it's a mirror, 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 mirror. I lost. And the next time it happens, I have this choice. And when I heard this description, which felt very real to me, maybe a little less real today than it was a couple years ago, but still fresh. I thought, oh, this is both of these things at once, right? This is at once this kind of world-weary understanding of this is my mind and this is my life and I am doomed to be here over and over and over again. And simultaneously, it's this clear message that though that's all true, this time is this time, right? The feeling is the same, but the moment is not. The moment is this moment. There has to be a benefit from that familiarity, from knowing the feeling of that emotion or that response or that fear or whatever that is in your hand. And it's that you can do something with it that you haven't done yet. You can explore it. In a sense, you can continue your investigation of it and not settle on saying, I just know. Yes, you know, but there's something else. In a way, this is really basic. And I understand as I'm saying it that you could raise this conversation in any space. It wouldn't have to be a Buddhist space, necessarily. It's not that interesting. And yet, it's our lives, constantly. I went skating with my kids on Sunday, and I'm not a good skater, and I'm getting older, and I think I skate about once a year. It's not a good set of conditions. And sometime yesterday evening, I started realizing that I just hurt. I hurt really bad in an almost embarrassing way. And going up and down the stairs was miserable. And today it was miserable. And at first I was struck by this feeling of, oh, well, this is new, right? I should be able to skate for an hour and not be beaten up by it. So this is a new problem. I have a new problem. And this feels a particular way. And I'm kind of walking around the house complaining to myself and to anyone who will listen and observing as I go up each step. Oh, look at me marching toward death, right? But then today, because I was thinking about this talk and I was thinking about what I was going to say, I was also thinking about how there's a quality to pain that I know very well. And when I start thinking about it that way, and I just think, oh, I know this. Yeah, my knees hurt. And hurt is hurt. Then it kind of sucked the wind out of it. It's not that interesting anymore. I find myself less fascinated as I go up the steps with my own life and my own dying process. And instead, I just think, oh, yeah, I'm actually kind of a pro at things hurting. I can do this. That's a really simple story to apply to this. It's not so much, it's maybe not as urgent as some things. But I think there's a way that we can meet our minds, we can see our minds coming, you know, from a mile away. I think, oh, it's you again. And then at the same time, with that same mind, we can reach out and kind of embrace it and treat it like it's welcome because it's now. And why do it any other way? I'll stop there.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.